Amen. He is. For some of us this morning, this is more like a tutorial and an adding of keys that Jesus talked about to Peter. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loosed. It also says in the scripture, which I want to share plenty from today, that Jesus is the light of the world. And the entrance of his word gives light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is my desire, and I believe it's Father's desire this morning, to cause his word to break open so that light comes out of darkness. Isn't it true that when we're in darkness, we don't understand, we can't see, we can't get perspective? But when we receive the revelation of God's word, light breaks out and we can see. We know what to do. It causes a rest to come. Anxiety is broken. Fear of the unknown is broken because we have confidence in his words. Amen. So I'm going to read, I'm going to make a couple of statements. Hopefully you will agree with the statements that I make so that you're not fighting me during the whole message, arguing in your heart about what I've just said. All right? The cross became the tree of judgment and death. Jesus Christ came down from heaven to eat its fruit. He died, was buried, rose again from death to become the way and the door to the tree of eternal life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. All that will eat of his fruit will have eternal life. Do I have an amen? I'd like to discuss this morning about how God brought the tree of life back into the earth again. You remember in the garden, Adam and Eve ate of the wrong tree, swallowed its fruit and the seed. The whole generation from Adam was corrupt, called sin. Are we in agreement? Why didn't Heavenly Father come down and have a conversation like he used to have with Adam and Eve in the garden? Because words will not change a thing. It is action that will shift some things. God had to act. So he needed to bring the tree of life back into the earth again so that all who chose to eat of that fruit, Jesus Christ, would live. It's our choice, is it not? Is God making you eat that fruit? No. Is God saying, no, you can't have access to the tree of life. You can't eat the fruit. He's not saying that either. That's why the word correctly states that he came not to judge the world. He loved the earth. I'm going to read some scriptures now. I wanted to use the scriptures to paint the picture because I would like to use the four points of the cross for you to hang the whole picture on so that going forward, you can use any of the keys to allow others to enter the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The keys are his word. When we operate his word and show people how they can activate that key of that word, they can get access to the kingdom of God. Are you following me? So here's some scriptures. Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. Christmas is coming. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. In John 1:29, it says this, the next day he, that is John, saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember, Adam ate that seed. All the generations after Adam are poisoned by that same seed called sin. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away that seed or the sin of the world is coming. John 12:24, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus, the seed, needed to die in order that many seeds from him might come. Is there anywhere in that where it says, I'm a good person, therefore God should let me into heaven? Is there any room for good works? 100% God is the one who makes room for us to get access. It is entirely our choice of receiving and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ or not. It will become clearer. John chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the door, Jesus said. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In 1 John 1, 7, it says in the part verse, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. 14. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few that find it. John chapter 6 and verse 51. I am the living bread, said Jesus, that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So today, I want to look at how Lord Almighty planted the tree of life 2,000 years ago in the earth again. You remember in Genesis that he put protection around the tree of life so that Adam couldn't eat or Eve could eat of that fruit then. It's a problem. The whole earth was dying. God needed to act to plant again the tree of life in the earth. I'm hoping by the end of this message and the illustration around the cross, you will see that Jesus Christ is the tree of life. And we who would eat of that fruit would live and have eternal life. Amen? Are you okay? You're like, I'm not going too fast. Always wanted to do that. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is a point in time where we need to stop chewing over about what we're doing with Jesus. There is a moment in time where we need to either swallow or spit. The word of God, the promise of God, is a seed that needs to be swallowed in order to receive it. Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge. They ate the seed. That seed was sin, it's poison. And it reproduced poison. We need to eat Jesus Christ, the Word, that we might live for eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4 and verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. When we receive the Word, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive it into our heart, that word comes alive. Light shines. As we see in that verse there, he is the one who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We know who our Savior is when we receive by faith the name of Jesus Christ into our heart. The seed of the tree of life must be swallowed. Okay. Now here's how I'd like to illustrate. Bruce, I have my prop. Observe the cross. You will notice on the cross there is a vertical and a horizontal. There is the head, heaven. To your left, God left heaven. Jesus was sent. He died and was buried in the ground. He rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, where he is today. You can add various scriptures to the four points of the cross to equip you, like a Peter, you're able to give keys to the inquirer. Yeah. Keys of scripture that will help unlock truth. That Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. this tree of death birthed the tree of life in the earth. Let me show you how. The head of the cross is in heaven, where the Father is, where the Son is, where the Holy Spirit is. Jesus laid aside glory to humble himself by being clothed in flesh, as you read, Behold, the virgin will be with child, in Matthew 1:23, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This was the pathway for Jesus to leave heaven and be clothed with flesh to identify with us in the earth. It says that in 1:23. Hebrews 5:8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Hebrews 4:15, this high priest Jesus, this high priest of ours, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Now the principle of a curse is rejected by heaven. Father rejected Jesus because he was covered with our sin. He was torn, nailed, and bled because of our sin. He was rejected from earth because no one wanted him. So he became a curse by being nailed to the cross. I want you to know that this cross is the access point and the door to eternal life. There is an illustration in Exodus where the people of Israel needed to take a lamb and after 3 days kill it and sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. Jesus, the Lamb of God, shed his blood to make the door for us to get access. Will words give you access? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'd like you to add you to my lifestyle. Sundays is acceptable, but the rest of the week I will do what I like. It's all or nothing, folks. It's not adding Jesus to anything. It's our life for his life for our life. The left side of the cross, your left, to help you remember, he left heaven. He was hung on the tree. He died a criminal's death. The bottom of the cross, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 12, verse 24, truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the doorposts. Blood on the doorpost and lintel. We get access through the cross. The right-hand side of the cross, the resurrection from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead and was raised to heaven to seat at the right hand of the Father. Luke 24:6, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Verse 7, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Verse 8. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. The scripture is telling the story. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Is that helpful? The head of the cross, returning home, the head of the cross is crowning glory. In John 20:17, Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. I go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. John 16:28, I came forth from the Father, leaving heaven, and have come into the world, and am leaving the world again and going to the Father. Right round. Acts 2:33, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured forth this to which you both see and hear. Acts 2:38, it says, Peter said to them, Repent each of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we're grafted into the tree of life, we need the Holy Spirit to be fruitful. It is not a natural thing. It is a spiritual thing. The Holy Spirit in us causes us to be fruitful, full stop. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So Jesus left heaven to redeem all creation, it's another statement, with his life, taking our place in judgment on the cross of death. This act of love has become the door to life everlasting. Through Jesus, we're restored in relationship with our Heavenly Father, the same relationship Adam and Eve had in the garden, by our adoption as sons and daughters. Jesus, the Holy Seed, buried in the ground, risen from death to life. This Holy Seed became alive. It broke ground in the earth to be the tree of life in the earth for all to seek eternal life. And here's the verse, Genesis 2, verse 9. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that was pleasing to the sight and good for food. And note this, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil came out of the earth. So the original tree of life grew in the earth. The tree of life restored to the earth again came out of the earth. Rose from the dead, the tree of life. Genesis 1:11, God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit, trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind and seed in them. And it was so. We need to eat the fruit. We need to eat Jesus, the word, for the seed to go in. It's not about putting on Christ for others to see. It's about receiving Christ that we might receive life. Amen. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And as we head towards the finish line, 1 Peter 1:23, it says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. Can I just say this morning, there's a lot of scriptures here, but it's the scripture that gives life, isn't it? I've tried to gather the scripture to paint the picture of God's intention and plan of how he was going to plant again the tree of life in the earth. Is that clear? Our identity is not about whether we can prophesy, heal the sick, or raise the dead. Our identity is because we've received Jesus Christ, the Holy Seed. We have received our adoption as a son. It breaks every kind of performance that we often work in to have our identity. Our identity is simply in the truth that we have received, we've believed and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is level ground. Whether you preach from the front, whether you see any miracles by your hand in the name of Jesus Christ, is not the key thing. The key thing today, folks, is that you have received, you have believed and received the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Doesn't that remove pressure? Doesn't that lift all kind of expectation to perform? But rather we walk with the Father to do his works, which is to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Galatians 2:20, is that where I'm up to? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. In Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in right standing or righteousness with God. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba Father. We've come out of darkness and entered into light through this. Jesus the door. No man can come to the Father except through him. Our identity is our relationship with the Father in Jesus Christ. It is nothing about performance. How many miracles have been worked by your hand or my hand? It's not by how many times you've ministered and preached to thousands in the world. It comes right back to relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Period. Different men and women will be given an office of responsibility, pastors, apostles, etc. We honour that, but it is not their identity. Their identity is in Jesus Christ in relationship with the Father first. The responsibility of serving in the kingdom is an office given by Jesus Christ. It settles a lot of things, doesn't it? Doesn't it lift pressure? Who am I? You're a son or a daughter of the Father in heaven. You've been adopted in Jesus' name. I get a lot of rest in that. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is the right order. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Emmanuel, God with us. We have, in the earth today, planted 2,000 odd years ago, Jesus went into the ground, the holy seed. He came to life, broke ground. He is the tree of life for all to have access to today. It is your decision, it is my decision to make. Will we eat of that fruit or not? Romans 10:13, and I finish with this verse. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is it too hard for us to receive Jesus Christ? Is it inaccessible? Is it inaccessible? Is God inaccessible? I say no. Jesus is available for us all. So with these scriptures, you have keys to help unlock for others who are inquiring, who are chewing over this Jesus question. You have keys from scripture to help them unlock and find the way in. That's exciting. I'm just looking around. I thought I had a word this morning for a newly saved person who has experienced God's power to come out of addiction and pornography and drugs. And they're now faced with the question of water baptism. They're aware of how angry the past life and all those associated with are with the decision that was made. They want to come and take you back and trap you again in that life of slavery and imprisonment. But Heavenly Father is saying you need to cross over. I don't think that person is actually here, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I don't know who's done what and when. And maybe you need to hear about water baptism. Water baptism is absolutely essential for cancelling the power of the past. The principle is in Exodus, when the people of Israel were being pursued by chariots, and the Egyptians, in order to capture them and take them into slavery again, they were trapped between an impossible task called the Red Sea. They couldn't go left, they couldn't go right. If they went back, they would die. Who put them there? God put them there. God is saying it is time to choose. It's all in or all back. You can't sit and chew. You must act. Talk is cheap, but actions work. Water baptism is an act of faith. You die to your past with Christ in the waters of baptism. You're raised to new life. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the promise is that you will never see the Egyptian again. The power of sin is cancelled in the waters of baptism. You can get free from your past. The waters of baptism separate the old from the new. Jesus is all about not mixing the old with the new. He wants the old to pass and the new to become established in him. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is breaking out with light, left, right, and centre. I thank you that lack of understanding, darkness, and misunderstanding, all that is being broken open as your word brings out the light of truth. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to remain in uncertainty or become anxious not knowing what will happen because you have made it plain. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I thank you today, Jesus, that you have captured us, you have saved us, you have cleansed us, you have set us on course. We are walking with you, Jesus, in relationship with our Father. We are able to hear his voice and do his works, even as Jesus did. Our task is to communicate the good news of the gospel to the whole earth, that light might fill the whole earth, the glory of Jesus Christ might be seen, and we will destroy the works of the devil in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you this morning that your word gives life and strength. I believe the entrance of your word this morning is giving health to flesh this morning. Chronic conditions can be broken in Jesus' name. Your word is life. Your word is power. Your word is creative. It's by your word that we live and move and have our being. Let your word work mightily in every heart today in Jesus' name. If you'd like prayer this morning, I'd be only too happy to pray with you, whatever the situation might be. But it's been an absolute pleasure this morning to minister to the word and to be with you today. God bless you.